DJ Hughes. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware, and I've, for what it's worth, I'm also a Caping Up in Viking and Delaware Fighting Blue Hen. Just want to start by addressing what I've heard is what I believe are what are some either misconceptions or maybe just a little terminology.
Mr. Hughes, before you get started, I apologize, but can you share what you're going to tell us, what you're going to talk? What is your purpose? Can you share with me so I can get my brain thinking in that area?
I'm here to discuss traffic, which is a lot of people's favorite topic. So, okay. And you'll hear that a traffic impact study has not been done. Technically, that would be correct per the terminology. However, this is a double-sided report called a traffic operational analysis. We have submitted it. I believe the electronic copy has almost 1,000 pages in there. Also within this, you'll hear that this area hasn't been studied since 2011. That is also not correct. We counted 2013 and 2014. Every intersection, there's three on Old Landing Road down near the site, and then the all-way stop up at Warrington and Strawberry. So those I just wanted to get out of the way. Right there, and then this traffic operational analysis, what we did do, in addition, the developer, or in this case, the property owner, is required to pay a $24,000 fee to DLDOT in addition, and that fee can be used to update any portions of the 2011 larger area-wide study that was done. And also, too, with respect to the traffic impact study, this would have been considered a traffic impact study on May 9th of 2013. On May 10th of 2013, DLDOT implemented new regulations that are different, and basically this doesn't meet the criteria of that. That's why we had to pay a fee in lieu of and still proceed with a study. The study that we did, the initial report, addressed 170 single-family homes and 180 townhomes. As has been stated earlier, it's now reduced to 160 single-family homes and 180 townhomes. The other change is previously the 12 lots that were going to access Fairway Drive. Those homeowners would have had to turn right off of Old Landing Road onto Fairway Drive. We'd proposed a right turn to accommodate that. Those lots are gone now, so there is nobody going to be turning onto Fairway Drive from Osprey Point.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have the same kind of question. You're a traffic engineer, is that correct?
That's correct.
Name of your company that you represent?
Davis, Bowen, and Friedel.
Okay, so not DLDOT, or you keep mentioning DLDOT did this and did that and the other, and I understand that. I want to make sure that people didn't misunderstand private company.
That's correct. Yeah. I work for a private consultant. Right. I'm working on behalf of the developer. DLDOT reviews everything that we do. Matter of fact, they determine the scope of work. Mm-hmm. They tell us what we need to do. We discuss that. We submit it, and then they review all of our work. So, and moving forward a little bit, we're still waiting to get a response on the final TOA recommendations from DLDOT, and I'll touch on that a little bit at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this TOA was done was based on this rezoning request, which we start with a service level evaluation and submitted to the county. That was done. DLDOT responded. WTIS was not required, which I've already touched on. So we moved forward with the TOA. It was submitted in December of 2014. And I also would like to note with respect to the townhouses, the townhouses are more traffic friendly, if you will, than single family homes. They don't generate as much traffic. And that's based on national data that is used for all developments, including the Sawgrass. And has across the street, we generated homes for all the unoccupied homes in Sawgrass. All the unoccupied units on Old Landing Road and all of the developments between Red and Ridge, Sawgrass South, and Sawgrass North, and Osprey Point, we're assuming the build-out of about 800 units that are currently unoccupied along Old Landing Road, and that's in addition to the rest of the committed developments that are not on Old Landing Road. The TIS included 8 committed developments, 4 intersections, 2 are traffic operational analysis, I'm sorry, 2 all-site intersections and 2 site access points. We assume 10 years of build-out, which is 1.16 growth or 16% growth on top of all the existing traffic, and then we added all the unbuilt units on top of that. At the site access points, our northernmost site access is opposite Bonair Drive, an access point for Sawgrass South. They have an existing left turn lane, and we'll be providing a right turn lane. So as you come south down Old Landing Road, you'll have exclusive lane to turn left in the Sawgrass, exclusive right to turn right into Osprey Point, and there'll be a dedicated bike lane for any cyclists between the through and the right. Going south to the next access, which the existing golf course access will be relocated to align with the southernmost Sawgrass site access. That was done. Typically, DelDOT likes to see, doesn't like to see offset intersections. It eliminates a conflict point on Old Landing Road. It aligns with that. I believe that's called Mirabella Lane, and they have an existing bypass lane that allows anybody that's traveling south of that access to use the bypass lane if somebody happens to be making a left in. We'll have to convert that to a left turn lane, so you'll have a left turn lane for Sawgrass South, once again, through lane, dedicated 5-foot bike lane, and then a right turn lane in our development. Both of those access points and Fairway Drive all operate with acceptable level service delays, that whether it's the summer or the weekday. In this section of Old Landing Road, you've actually dropped off a lot of traffic from the subdivisions to the north that are south of the all-way stop, mm-hmm. which is really the intersection everybody's most interested in, which is the all-way stop. And existing conditions, your commuter peak hours, it actually operates with what's considered acceptable level of service and delays. And you don't really have any significant queuing problems, with the exception that Warrington Road, as we think all know, does queue somewhat even during the weekday peak hours. The main problem with the intersection is summer Saturday, and it was studied in 2011. We counted again in August of 2013. And even on a summer Saturday, Old Landing Road itself, especially coming out of where all these developments were located, it really doesn't queue up that bad. I think maybe five was the longest I saw. Coming from Route 1 on Old Landing Road and coming from Route 24 on Warrington Road, those are the primary movements. Warrington Road left turn lane, the TOA recommends it's going to be lengthened. The Old Landing Road traffic study recommended it should be lengthened. And I believe I've heard from DelDOT that it's going to be required to be about 600 feet long storage. So you would have about 600 feet of storage for the left turn lane on Warrington Road.
Would that be typical or extra?
That's a very long amount of storage, especially for that type of intersection.
I'd like to see that.
And the reason is typically your major movement at an intersection does not occur from the stop sign. Mm-hmm. It's an unimpeded through movement. In this case, you know, when the 24 light releases, the platoon, which is the group of cars coming from 24, comes up to Warrington Road, and every one of them has to stop. So that's why it queues up, and on a summer Saturday, it's pretty constant throughout the day, at least between 10 and 3 anyway. So in order to address what's there, and DelDOT, I think back as far as a decade ago, has looked at the intersection, and they required us to do within this traffic operational analysis, what they call a signal justification study. And that's where we go through all the traffic warrants that they have in the Delaware MUTC, which is the MUTCD, which is the Manual and Uniform Traffic Control Devices. There's 9 warrants in there. They required us to go back out in June of 2014, did a 12-hour count from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we ran the volumes through the warrants. And there's an 8-hour warrant and a 4-hour warrant that are both applicable, and they're both met.
Would you like to tell me what a warrant is?
Yeah, a warrant is...
I'm sorry, I don't...
But basically, a warrant is just how you determine whether something is needed.
Warranted?
Warranted.
Is that what you mean? You're
yeah.
Talking, okay, all right, gotcha.
No, we're not issuing warrants for anybody.
No,
here.
You're not. I hadn't heard it used in that fashion at this time. Okay.
To follow up on your question, though, just because something is warranted or needed, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean, in this case, that it would happen. It's still in the balls and DelDOT's court in that case
sure.
to make a decision, which is really where we are officially. I've been told that they believe that a signal is likely to be installed there, but we're still waiting on that final recommendations based on this report. And then once that decision is made, then everything else will kind of fall into place with respect to turning lanes and that sort of thing. The Warrington Road left turn lane, that's needed today, whether it's an all-way stop, a signal, or whatever it may be. So, and they actually have required other developments. Sawgrass South paid, either paid or bonded, $204,000 in improvements. Sawgrass North also paid or bonded $204,000 in improvements. And Redden Ridge has already made a payment of, I believe, $25,000 with $50,000 more on the way. So that is
four. These are developers, you're saying?
Yes,
yes.
These are developers. So this is $483,000 in eligible, our required developer funding. In addition, there's five signal agreements. The way the signal agreements work, at the time that each one of those was signed, basically they determine the signal costs and divide the cost by the number of signal agreements. So you could have a signal that could be funded five ways with the existing signal agreements that are in place now.
Mr. Hughes, before you continue, may I ask a question?
Sure.
You made a statement about a minute or two ago, and that is through your studies, you come and make recommendations, and whether or not something is warranted or needed, I think that was the statement, it does not mean it always is done.
Correct.
And we're waiting on, and that's really a DLDOT decision, correct?
Correct. DLDOT's traffic section actually is the one who permits all traffic signals in the state of Delaware.
So I will tell you, there lies a big problem. I will tell you, as elected officials and the public, we don't have the confidence always that the government agencies do what they need to be done.
Well,
truly.
Okay.
I mean, it's a separate discussion, but I just want to make sure I have a full understanding that, you know, there are recommendations that you, as somebody who has been hired, do to provide to DLDOT, correct?
Yes. Correct.
And so we have to make decisions based on this information. And in the end, DLDOT may say it might be needed or might be wanted, but we're not going to do it. Correct?
That is correct to a certain degree. I think once the public, communicates to DLDOT that something needs to be done, I think there is a certain responsibility then for them to look into things. However,
right.
You know, they will make the ultimate decision on what is ultimately done at this. I can't speak for them. I believe they do have a representative here.
They do, right.
In attendance. So I think he's probably better to answer questions about what DLDOT may or may not do than I am.
Probably so. I just wanted clarification on what was stated, and you've confirmed what I thought I heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And did you find that a light at that intersection of Warrington Road and Old Landing Road would help matters? I mean, you know.
Yes, I hadn't gotten to that point. I think I jumped
a little
ahead, but the in the future, it does show that with a signal, you would get acceptable level service even on a summer Saturday without additional lanes. However, level of service and delays are only one thing we look at, and we look at the queues and the 95th percentile queues, which is basically the worst 5% queue. And based on that is where the 600-foot storage that I mentioned earlier, that's where that recommendation will come from. Mm-hmm. So any additional improvements beyond that, I'm not aware of anything that's been specified, and this report doesn't recommend anything beyond that.
Well, the light is something that the folks have been talking about. I'm just wondering what your conclusion was, light or no light, you know. So.
It does project it. It will help.
Okay.
But basically, if DLDOT requires it, you'll do it.
Yes, I mean, in the end, we have to meet all DLDOT requirements.
I'm saying, DLDOT's the final say in it, so you're...
What
you're saying here is just basically a collaboration between you and DLDOT at this point with their recommendations, and you put it in a book. But whatever they want, you'll give them, and even contributions to stoplights or whatever, you'll contribute, basically, just to get the development.
That's correct. I understand the county had some questions, and they asked DLDOT. DLDOT responded. But what we're still waiting for in addition to that is the final TOA recommendations.
Right.
And then from that, we'll have to work through those with DLDOT. And in addition, we have a letter of no objection we still have to receive.
I think that's what the opposition is looking to. They perceive a traffic problem, and they want to hear from DLDOT. Do they agree there's a traffic problem, or DLDOT says there isn't a traffic problem, or that doing these things would mitigate? So that's basically what it boils down to, I guess. It's real simple.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, and even after the letter of no objection, we still got to get entrance approval and then permitted.
And things can change.
Yes, they can. I mean, but once the, really the TIS letter that you guys get, our TOA letter you get that recommends the improvements will really be what determines how we move forward with all the off-site improvements with DelDOT.
When you mentioned the money coming in from different developers, there was Sea Chase has two developments, and they were supposed to be putting money aside for a traffic light in that area as well. So I hope they get counted in.
I believe they are one of the five developments that is listed with the signal agreements.
Right. Very good.
Yes. I think I probably jumped ahead and hit most of the points I had noted. And basically, I just want to close, which, again, I've touched on already, that the next point in the process is we're waiting the final recommendations from DelDOT on a TOA. From that, we'll get together with them. We'll have to work through that with them. Like I said, they communicated that to the county, I think, yesterday. And the one last thing I do want to note that I think that letter didn't mention was 2013, 2014 traffic data is included in here. Mm-hmm. So it's not based off 2011 because there has been build out since 2011.
Mr. Hughes, are those booklets for us? Is that part of the record? Or
actually, Lawrence, I believe I submitted a copy to him with P&Z. Okay. If you guys need another copy, you're certainly welcome.
I would love some nightly reading, certainly.
Give him a copy.
When I need to go to sleep. No. Who wants one?
Take one home to the kids.
They're not the same. They're different.
Oh, they are different.
I'm sorry.
Eat them both.
But you need them both.
You're going to tell us everything that's in there.
You good, buddy? There's a the front is labeled.
You get rid of
the back is appendices. So.
Be careful what you ask for.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions?
No, thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
We are approaching the top of the stretch.
Top?
Top.
Bottom.
Mrs. Stever, you do ask two questions. One was regarding level three.
Yes.
Level three is an area where the state recognizes future growth.
Well, but... Okay, go ahead. I think if it were two or one, we were looking maybe at more investment decisions on the part of the state. But well, that's how I understand it.
Yeah. It's an area where they recognize there will be future growth or an area that has environmental features. That's how they define it. Level four is really an area where they don't want to basically participate in any future development. And your other question about fish in the pond, most of them have been killed by golf balls.
Aww. You know, I'm going to look after the little things. Like
any
that.
Of my own golf balls have killed this.
Well, you know, environmentally.
As you know, the applicant does not have an opportunity to present rebuttal comment after the opposition has spoken. Thank God, probably. However, since we already have heard the opponent's arguments and reviewed a petition that was submitted in opposition, I do want to comment on some of the key concerns that were raised by the opposition. First, and I don't know whether you have experienced this before, there was a petition that was submitted. It's an internet petition. It utilizes a petition process created by the Move One organization. It enables a petition to be created, distributed, signed, and submitted to the county all by the use of the internet. It's the first time that I've seen it used. I expect that we'll be seeing it used in the future. It's a very effective and efficient process, and as I mentioned at Planning and Zoning, I compliment the opponents on their creativity in using that. However, the substance of the petition makes allegations that are without merit or substance, and I do want to comment on those main points. The petition alleges that our development is not aligned with existing developments along Old Landing Road because we have townhouses, which they claim are out of character. Mm-hmm. As I've already mentioned, we do have townhouses in our development, but those townhouses have no impact on anyone. Our site plan... And I'm referring to this front row of townhouses right here. The closest row to Old Landing Road. The townhouses in that section, they're designed so that the front of the townhouses face Old Landing Road, not the rear of the townhouses. So visually, on Old Landing Road, you'll see the front of those homes. Mm-hmm. In addition, those homes front on an interior street. They do not front on Old Landing Road. Now, the closest development to those townhouses, again, is across the street, which is Sawgrass South, which is across Old Landing Road. Our townhouses on our site, on our interior street, have a 30-foot setback from the interior road. The interior road then has a 50-foot right-of-way. We then have an open space between the interior road and Old Landing Road of at least 100 feet. Old Landing Road itself then has a 50-foot right-of-way. So our townhouses are at least 230 feet from the front of the Sawgrass property. When you then consider that the Sawgrass property also has setbacks, our closest townhouses to the homes in Sawgrass are almost a football field length away. Of more importance, again, as I've already mentioned, as far as the out-of-character complaint, that complaint totally ignores the reality that Sawgrass South itself contains 176 townhouses, or 62% of that development. There was testimony at the planning and zoning hearing from an opponent who said, yes, there are townhouses in Sawgrass, but there are none along Old Landing Road. You cannot see a townhouse from Old Landing Road. That is an inaccurate statement. I will submit a Google Earth photo, and if any of you gentlemen have been out there, you know you can see the townhouses. They're right behind the swimming pool on Old Landing Road. So the townhouses will have no impact, and they're actually consistent with what already exists. The petition also alleges that our requested gross density of 2.68 units per acre is too dense. However, as I've already stated, it is significantly less than that anticipated by the comp plan in the county engineering office, and it is similar to the density that was approved for the Redden Ridge subdivision on Old Landing Road, which is 2.45 units per acre, and that was a subdivision approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission in October of 2013, or approximately 16 months ago. As I also mentioned, when you deduct the unbuildable wetlands from the gross acreage of our site and the Sawgrass site, ours is 3.2 units to the acre compared to the net density of Sawgrass, which is 3.7. So there is no basis to a density argument. The petition alleges that our development will alter or disrupt the scenic views along Old Landing Road. I guess to some extent that is true. And this is a point I think the opponents are being upfront about. Basically, what they're saying is they would prefer to have a golf course or 126 acres of open space across the road from their properties. I understand their position. If you lived there, you'd probably feel the same way. If I lived there, I'd probably feel the same way. Of course, we'd rather have open space across from our homes. However, there is no right to a scenic view, and you can't deny a property owner the right to develop his property in a manner that neighboring properties have already been developed. You certainly can't stop somebody from doing that to preserve your view. If you want to preserve a view, you buy the property. That's the only way you can do it. But to try to impose such a restriction on an owner whose family's owned the property for 100 years, and that ownership predates every development on Old Landing Road, is just totally unreasonable. The petition states that we're in a flood zone, and that's true. I won't repeat that. It's already been addressed. Mr. Hines talked about the soil types, and I think you can see from the exhibit that was submitted, the soil types are no different than the soil types in the general area. And again, where Sawgrass has also built on these types of soils, Rehoboth Country Club is built on these types of soils. This is nothing different than has happened in numerous developments regarding or around the Inland Bay areas. In our exhibit book is a FEMA flood map. I'm going to submit another copy of it for the record. Again, it stated we're in a flood zone, which we are in a flood zone. All the land around the Sussex County Inland Bays are in flood zones. It's nothing unusual. This is our site right here. We are in a flood zone. So is the woods, so is Old Landing Development, so is Sawgrass, so is everything else in the area. Mm-hmm. So there's really no, we can't be singled out for different treatment than basically other people who have developed have been permitted to. The ultimately what it is under flood zones, under FEMA requirements, there's certain building construction requirements if that is necessary, if it's required. And even the county has an existing ordinance regarding building in flood zones if the FEMA standard isn't more stringent. So, I mean, it's totally recognized that that's something that can be permitted. So that argument's baseless. It's never, as I said, been imposed on anyone else. The next point raised is that the state of Delaware has very limited funds to address the road, sewer, water facilities, and DENREC has limited resources to monitor and inspect stormwater management. The answer to this is quite simple. The reality of development is that the developer pays for the required road improvements, as determined by DelDOT. The developer pays for sewer improvements, impact fees, and connection charges, as determined by the Sussex County Engineering Department. The developer pays for water infrastructure and other fees per its service agreement with Tidewater Utilities. And the stormwater management improvements and review are approved and inspected by the Sussex Conservation District, the cost of which, again, is paid by the developer. The final issue, again, in the petition is traffic, and it's already been addressed, but just to summarize that, the proposed development, like every other development, adds additional traffic to area roads. There's no question. I mean, that's what happens. But this development, like every other development, again, the impact will be reviewed by DelDOT. We will be required to fund an equitable share of the improvements as determined by DelDOT. And we will do that. This will be funded. And again, the ultimate decision on what those improvements are obviously is made by DelDOT. Again, apologize to the council and for the people who are here for the time we are taking. But as I mentioned before, we have an obligation to establish for the record the factual and legal basis. This is the first time you've heard our presentation explaining these details, and we have to make sure it's complete. I also know that the council has received, or the Planning and Zoning Department, probably as well as the council, have received numerous letters and emails from the opponents urging you to deny this application. I know there's been emails and sent personally to all the council members, as well as Senator Schwarzkopf and Representative Lopez.
Senator Lopez.
Help you.
Trying to help.
Thank you. That will get me in trouble.
Yeah.
and certainly the opponents have the right to contact their representatives to express their opinion. I'm not objecting to that. However, you, the county council, should not consider this as a political decision because it's not. It's a land use decision. I also want to mention there have been numerous letters published in the Cape Gazette every week. I've been reading those letters for a while now. There's one I do want to mention, and I apologize for mentioning this. But I would be negligent in my duty representing my client if I didn't mention it. It was a letter that appeared in the Cape Gazette on January 13th. And the letter states, in referring to the opposition to our application, and let me qualify this, this is a letter from one individual. It's not from the people in this room, or maybe from one of them, but I'm not referring to everyone in here, but this is a letter that was in the Cape Gazette. Referring to the opposition to our application, it stated, and I quote, "We might as well forget it. Planning and zoning and the Sussex County Council are all owned lock, stock, and barrel by the realtors and developers." End of quote.
Wait, I'm a realtor.
Well, you're a self-owner.
Is that all the letter said? That was it? That was the entirety of it?
Well, that was the pertinent part.
I see.
That hurt.
Now, obviously, the statement, and everyone knows, the statement is totally false. There's no basis to it. But for the fact that you are considered public officials, it would be libelous. All right, but that's not the point, because I don't think the letter writer even intended that as a factual statement.
What point are you making with that?
Well, I'm going to tell you in 1 second. What was intended was a subtle attempt to manipulate your decision. all right? The attempted manipulation works this way. Consciously or subconsciously, nobody wants to be accused of that. So there's manipulation put on you.
You really have to explain this to us.
Well, to some of you.
Maybe to the new ones, huh?
We pay effort to
consciously or subconsciously, you vote against this, that shows you're not bought, okay? Obviously, I want to point this out because you're not to be manipulated by that kind of behavior also. I stated many times that this is not a popularity contest. So how do you make a land use decision? How do you make a land use decision when an applicant fully complies with the applicable land use law, but you are confronted with substantial public opposition? Well, fortunately, or unfortunately, you have court decision telling you how you do that. The case involves a conditional use, but the court's holding is equally applicable to a zoning application. The decision was handed down in the Gibson v. Sussex County case in 2005, and it was cited in the Brockstedt v. Sussex County case in 2011. And I just want to read a bit of that because I think it goes to the essence of what my position is. And this is from the Gibson decision. In this case, most of the arguments advanced by the opponents were ones that opponents could have said about their own homes. Simply put, the opponents' desire to say this far, no further, about their community is understandable, but it is not a non-arbitrary reason to deny the Gibbons the same property rights that many among the opponents are themselves enjoying. When the basis for public opposition is not that the applicant is not following the legislatively applicable rules designed to protect the community, the environment, and infrastructure, but that the rules of general applicability from which the opponents themselves have benefited have led to a situation that calls out for general policy reform, the council may not simply bend to the wind in the room and single out that applicant for disparate treatment. Rather, the answer for the opponents and the council is to address the underlying problems in a proper way through implementation of rules of general applicability that limit uses of property that pose a threat or legitimate concern of public interest. What is not acceptable is for the council to retain general rules that permit some residents, like the existing residents of the area, to burden the environment, roads, and water quality while reserving to itself the right to pick out those to whom the same privilege should be denied. Now, that's just a fundamental fairness argument, but that is the court's opinion. Just one more statement. The court went on to state that the requirement that the council proceed rationally and non-arbitrarily is precisely designed to prevent it from abusing its power by discriminating between applicants based on how much support their application has among those to whom the council must answer at the polls, rather than by virtue of the applicant's satisfaction of the neutral criteria designed to protect the public interest. Obviously, the council must have appropriate flexibility to consider the circumstances particular to applications in light of general criteria that might not always answer the precise question before it. But nonetheless, the council is not free to ignore the overall framework that it has established in the code and the comprehensive plan and to deny an unpopular application based on unsupported references to factors that the framework has already addressed. The requirement that the majority live by the same rules that they seek to impose on others is a critical aspect of the fair system of Republican democracy. So, again, the court has told you that you must follow the overall framework established by the zoning code and the comprehensive plan, and that is your legal responsibility. Now, in that same vein, and Mrs. Deaver, not to pick on you.
Oh, now. What? Now what?
I
pick on the woman. That's right.
I am very concerned about a comment that you posted on your website on January 12th in your report to the people.
Wasn't good.
To the people.
And what you stated was, our land use policy is proving worse than we could imagine.
That's right.
As we vote according to our law and fulfill the so-called land use plan to the pleasure of many developers and such. Should we not vote according to our law, we get sued. Now, the reason that statement concerns me is that as a lawyer, doing land use law, it's my job, and I get paid good money, to advise my clients what the law is, and to tell them what they can do and what they can't do under the law. And I don't make the laws. I don't even lobby for what laws you have. All I want to know is, what are the laws, so I can advise my client what the laws are. Now, as to your statement, why it concerns me is this. The county's comprehensive plan is not a so-called land use plan. While I understand that you were not on the county council when
so
it was adopted.
So then we don't have one, is what you're saying?
No. Mm-hmm. It's not a so-called land use plan.
It's not a so-called. Oh, no. That's your opinion, and I have mine.
No, it's actually not my opinion.
Okay.
It is not a so-called land use plan. And I acknowledge that you were not on county council.
Reasonable people can
and
disagree.
I infer that perhaps you don't agree with all of it.
Yeah.
However, that comp plan was discussed and debated at numerous public hearings.
I was here. I was participating in the hearings, yes, as a citizen.
All right. Then it is your comp plan. And then
Is it my, take responsibility for that?
Did you vote for the comp plan?
I wasn't on council.
Ms. Stever, normally we do not engage in an argument back and forth with anyone, and I know what your feeling is, but I think it would be best.
And also, we just might as well just forget this. Let's get back to the to the charts
well,
and the plan.
I
understand the law.
I want to complain.
Everett will counsel her, I guarantee. He'll give her good advice.
I have points to make that were stated, and I just want to complete my points.
You may make your points.
All right.
Okay. It's not a so-called land use plan. This is the Sussex County Land Use Plan. It was approved after public hearings. It was approved by the county council. It was submitted to the Office of State Planning and reviewed and approved by them, and it was signed by the governors and certified. This plan is the legal, binding, comprehensive land use plan of Sussex County as required by the laws of Delaware. As far as being to the pleasure of the developers, all I can tell you is my client's not a developer. His family's owned the property for 100 years. He's run a golf course. He's basically doing what is legally required to follow the plan. It's binding on him. It's binding on everyone. And lastly, as far as your comment that if you don't vote according to the law, you get sued, I can, as I stated, the plan is the law. It's your law. It's the county council's law. That's who implemented this land use plan. If the county council, as representative of the residents, do not like the law, do not like the plan, the county council changes it. It's as simple as that. But until it's changed, it is the law. It is binding on Mr. Marshall. It is binding on the opponents. And most importantly, it's binding on the county council. And quite frankly, if the county council did not intentionally follow the law.
That's what I said. You followed the law.
No, you didn't. You said if you don't follow the law, you get sued. Well, I'm saying is you should follow the law.
We don't care. Mrs. Deaver might care, but the rest of us, I don't think care.
Okay, and the final point raised by the opponents was that maybe Mr. Marshall waited too long to bring this application. Part of what was stated was, and basically, I'm quoting this, with all due respect to Mr. Marshall, land use or land is an investment, and just like any other investment, sometimes you hold it too long. So sometimes it's not the greatest thing to wait and see, because after everything else is built, the landscape changes, and you have to consider the way that the landscape changed to evaluate whether or not that wait and see was really the right thing to do. Now, the speaker was correct. The landscape on Old Landing Road has changed. Basically, it's all been developed. This is the one piece that basically hasn't been developed. And what's being proposed here, again, is to develop it in accordance with the laws. Now, the point is, after that's all occurred, is it lawful or fair to single out one property owner whose development proposal fully complies with the land use regulations for different treatment? And the court in the Gibson case answered that question also. And again, it's equally applicable here. And what the court said there was, the law requires that local governments deal with specific land use decisions in a rational, non-arbitrary manner, guided by legislative standards of general applicability. The singling out of particular owners for idiosyncratic treatment just because the prevailing neighborhood wind is unfavorable is not acceptable. when the property owner has met the criteria that the local government has established for the requested, in this case, conditional use. The inequity thus created becomes more poignant when much of the community opposition amounts mostly to a plea that the opponents, most of whom are doing the exact same threats, in this case to the pond in Silver Lake, as the applicant's proposed use would, be permitted to close the door on the community behind them. So again, my point is this. It's not a popularity contest. Whether there was no opposition to this application, whether there were 250 people opposed to it or 2,500 people opposed to it, our application and your decision would still be subject to the same statutory requirements. And again, your decision has to be based on those. That's the law. Mm-hmm. In conclusion, I thought I'd get a bigger cheer than that. In conclusion, the factual concerns and objections you will hear from the opponents are either properly addressed by the applicant in accordance with the applicable regulations or have no merit. And I would ask you to keep our presentation in mind when you hear the opposition's testimony. As to the legal provisions, our application is in accordance with the Sussex County Comp Plan. It's in accordance with the future land use map. It's in accordance with the purpose of the MR and RPC zoning designations. It's surrounded by MR zone land. It's adjacent to an existing MR-RPC with similar mixed residential use and density. It's in a county sewer district and will be served by public water, and it fully complies with all legislative mandates. In addition, as I've alluded to, there's also a question of fundamental fairness. The Marshall family have owned this property for years. They basically have seen all of Old Landing Road develop around them, and now when it's their property that seeks approval for development, some of the residents of those other developments oppose what they already have with the argument that could be raised against their own homes and their own developments. We believe our application is entitled to your approval subject to reasonable conditions as you deem appropriate. I will submit to you proposed findings for the record. I will submit to you proposed conditions for the record. And I do have exhibits that I referred to, which I will give to Mr. Moore. And those exhibits are the Google Earth photo of the townhouses at Sawgrass, a copy of the FEMA flood map for our area, a copy of the County Council decision on change of zone 1503, that was the Warrington property, which is now known as Seagrass South, the planning and zoning decision for subdivision 2013-8, Jack Lingo Management LLC, which is now Redden Ridge, and a copy of the Gibson decision that I quoted in my presentation. I'll give those to Mr. Moore.
I do want to make one short statement. Are you done, Mr. Fouquet?
Excuse me?
Are you finished?
Yes.
I'm sorry that you took my comments as somehow affecting this application. They were not meant to affect this application, and they were I'm talking about the future, what we can do. We have another land use plan coming up. That was my concern, and never, never intended to have my comment applied that we should not follow the law in a pending application. Never.
And I didn't take it that you were referring to our application. I was just speaking in general that your statement that if you don't follow the law, you get sued, and my only point was you should get sued.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I agree, then.
I'm just saying that that's right. You can't do what everybody wants you to do if it's not in the law. That was my point.
I think we agree to the same point, and the law is the law.
I want us to have better laws, but we don't have them yet.
Great phone numbers, and maybe you two can get together.
And I thank you. I know the Marshall. I know the Marshall family's been here for hundreds of years, but they don't have more rights than the new people do. And so we all have equal rights, I hope. But I have a great deal.
You and I agree 100%.
I got a question, Mr. Fouquet, before you go. Not now. I don't want your answer now, but I want your opinion. Because of the project's in a flood zone, it's in a water. We've heard about the water table. We've heard about soil types and other things. And we also heard that there's new regulations coming down with stormwater. I would like you to think about this, because at the end the record will be left open and we will be able to ask for additional information possibly or other state agencies. But I was thinking I'd like to get the DENREC to come down, the Stormwater Management Division, and explain to us how would the new regulations impact this development, because I hate to see something get approved at the last minute, like try to get in another wire before, you know, something comes along. I want to know, because, again, these have all been done at the state level. We haven't been involved here at the county. So I am concerned about the new regulations that are right, you know, around the bend and what we have today, and just see the difference and the impacts, and if there's any reason we should not consider those, and then you think of why I shouldn't do that. I want you to think a while. I'll give you something to think about. I'll wait to the end because we will be discussing leaving the record open for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application?
Mr. Moore, do we have anybody here from Del Dot?
Yes, we do have. I believe Mr. Brockenbrow is here. Is he in the back?
Yes.
Could you come forward? I know there was a letter that was sent in response to some questions, and I believe you may have a copy of that letter, do you?
Yes, I do.
And if you can just summarize, maybe read the question, and then just give a short summary of what your answer was, and then maybe the council might have some questions as well.
Okay. For the record, I'm Bill Brockenbrough from Del Dot. I can give you my home address if you like, but
it's your official
representative.
Better not.
reading from my letter to Mr. Lawson, and I'll start with his questions to us, and then try to summarize my five-page response. The Osprey Point application will not require a traffic impact study. And according to Del Dot, a TIS conducted in 2011 will serve as the tool to analyze the impact of this proposed development. Please explain the agency's decision to use the 2011 traffic impact study. Why is an updated traffic impact study not required? What we did in 2011 was not a traffic impact study. It was a traffic study. A traffic impact study is a very... it's defined in great detail in our regulations. It's a term of art. But we looked at the area bounded by Route 1, Old Landing Road, Warrington Road, and Route 24 with regard to several developments that were proposed at the time. And we got, with regard to those developments, a pretty good understanding of how the intersections in that area will operate for the next few years. Having that available to us, the developer argued, and we agreed, that they could do something less than a full traffic impact study, which would have included some of those intersections addressed in 2011. We therefore have a little less information than we would have, but I think we know enough. We thought we would know enough, and we still think that we know enough to say what the developer should be required to do in terms of improving intersections. Okay. That's why we did not require a traffic impact study.
Okay.
You've seen the report that they did.
Yes.
Second question. Della has stated it will rely on a traffic operational analysis. Describe for the public what a traffic operational analysis is, what it covers, and how it differs from a traffic impact study. Okay, the definition of a traffic operational analysis has changed over time. As originally developed, it was a traffic study relating to the design and location of a site entrance and perhaps one adjacent intersection. Because it was not written in our regulations, the definition morphed, changed over time to mean basically anything that is not exactly a traffic impact study. In May of 2013, some changes to our regulations took effect. We did define traffic operational analysis in writing as a traffic study relating to the location and design of a site entrance. By that informal definition of something that was not precisely a traffic impact study, the report done by Davis Bowen and Friedel is a traffic operational analysis. Third question. Describe the improvements to Old Landing Road that A, have been funded by other developments, and if possible, identify those developments along with the amount of funding, B, that have been designed, and C, that must still be designed. Okay. There are two significant state improvements to Old Landing Road. One was a widening and realignment of about 1,000 feet at the north end as part of a capital project in about 1990. And the other is the installation of drainage improvements along Warrington Road South in the early 2000s. This was done using community transportation funds supplied by Representative John Schroeder. Improvements by developers, the degree to which an improvement by a developer is required by DLDOT has increased over time as we've increased our requirements. Sterling Crossing, Sea Chase, Cedar Valley, The Landing, Arnell Creek, Villages of Old Landing, the meadows at the Villages of Old Landing, Sawgrass North and Sawgrass South have all built turn lanes as part of their entrance construction. Sea Chase also installed a sidewalk along their frontage and built the southbound right turn lane at Warrington Road. Sawgrass North and Sawgrass South are widening the road to provide 5-foot shoulders on both sides of the road for the length of their frontage and building 10-foot shared use paths along their frontage. Redden Ridge will be required to do the same things. With regards to traffic signals, developers of Sterling Crossing, Sea Chase, Cedar Valley, Warrington Creek, now Sawgrass North, and Oak Creek, now Sawgrass South, have entered agreements whereby they will share in the cost of a traffic signal at the intersection of Warrington and Old Landing when DLDOT finds it's appropriate to install one. Estimating the cost of a signal at about $200,000, that's an obligation of about $40,000 each.
May I ask, you said when DLDOT finds it necessary to do so.
Right.
That is a very long period, possibly, correct? My point is, is there a defined time frame for that improvement, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
There is not.
And why is there not, I guess would be my next question.
Well,
that's a good
answer.
The study by Davis Bowen and Friedel, the signal justification study that DJ spoke about, has identified that a signal is now appropriate, something we could reasonably do. The decision to actually do that, to expend state funds for that purpose, belongs to our chief traffic engineer, who has many things to consider. I don't know all of them.
But the simple answer is there's no timetable attached to any of this stuff.
Correct.
Right. When the funds go, when you get collect funds from these developers along, like say Old Landing Road,
okay.
Is it put in escrow or does it go into just a big pot?
Well, when we collect funds, it is escrowed.
Okay.
The signal agreements I just spoke about are agreements. The money has not been collected.
Oh, has not, okay.
Sawgrass North and Sawgrass South did separately provide money for the improvement of the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And that is escrowed.
Okay.
Go ahead. Are you finished?
Yeah.
No,
yes.
Go ahead.
I can go on to the next question.
Oh, it's a good letter. I would like to hear the rest of it. Yeah, I'd like to hear the rest of it.
Okay. And I'm not reading verbatim.
Okay.
If you,
yeah, we have a copy.
Yes. Describe the timing of any. Well, the questions I'm reading verbatim. Describe the timing of any road improvements in conjunction with the start of the construction of the Osprey Point development. Please provide a description of the timing of the off-site road improvements funded by this development and others, such as the Old Landing Warrington Road intersection. Okay. Starting at the site. There's the matter of the turning lanes and the improvements along their frontage. The developer could build, I'm estimating, 40 houses, if a maximum of 40 houses, without putting in turning lanes. They would have to do that. They would have to build both entrances, build a minimal entrance, build as many houses as they could there, about 20 each. They would not trip our warrants for a right turn lane. Beyond that, they would. I don't think that's an economical way for them to go about their development. I don't think they'll approach it that way, but that's something they could do. We will work with them to develop a plan that suits the way they want to approach their development and still protects the public to get the entrance, the turn lanes built when they're needed at each of the entrances. And the frontage improvements will go along with those. Developers often say that they don't have money to build improvements until they sell some houses. To some extent, that argument is valid. And as I say, they could build up to 40, sell up to 40 before they did anything. I suspect it'll be more like 20 at one intersection. But we will work out an agreement with them.
Mm-hmm. The timing of the of the contributions.
Mm-hmm. And this is how you do it with all.
Yes, it is. Right. We do this for every project.
Nothing different about this one.
The improvements at Warrington and Old Landing. Thank you. A week ago, I thought we were looking at something fairly simple. A left turn lane extension and the signal. Then my director reminded us that we're looking at using what is now public money here, the developer contributions from the other projects. We need to look at alternatives. So what I see happening is a public workshop with conceptual plans sometime after the project is approved, if it is approved, if the rezoning is granted and the site plan approvals continue through, a workshop to look at alternative improvements at Warrington Old Landing. I think that we'll end up with what's been discussed, a signal and a turn lane extension, but there's a public process to go through. Mm.
So you're saying there has to be a workshop before you actually recommend that?
Before we determine what we're going to require of them,
right.
We're going to look at the alternatives.
After the application has been approved or denied. Yeah. You know, well, if it's denied, otherwise, I don't know if you're going to look at it
right,
or not.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Afterwards. I have a question. You said the developer asked not to have to do the traffic impact study, and we agreed. Why? I live right on the corner, and it's developing. The Old Landing Road is like unbelievable rate of development, which I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying there's a lot in the past few years. I'm wondering if you're taking all that into consideration.
You live at the corner of Warrington Old Landing?
No, we live on Plantation and 24. Just okay. Warrington is there on one side of Warrington. We're on the other side. Okay. And it's developed so fast, and I kind of thought there would be a new traffic impact study to take in consideration the new developments there. So I'm wondering why you would want...
As a resident, you know the conditions there. And you know our Route 24 project is needed. That's still the improvement that's needed.
Is that why you're...
Let's get back to this. Let's get back to this problem, Ms. Deaver. You can talk to him later about
I just want to know if the developer asks them for something and they say, okay, I'm just wondering, you're saying it's based on financial concerns or what? Other projects? I'm not sure what they're...
Then because they did enough studies...
Because we looked at the intersection in 2011, and I believe we looked at it more recently as part of a different development, mm-hmm. too. We feel we have an understanding of what's needed there. Yeah. The traffic impact study would not... Having Davis Bone and Friedel look at it for this project would not have told us anything substantially mm-hmm. different.
Well, thank you very much.
But you still required this report here that was turned in, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that...
yeah, I think that's the last question. Yeah. Were there any questions from council?
It's pretty clear to me.
No.
I do, if I may, Mr. President. First and foremost, thank you for being here. But as I said earlier, I think, I'm not sure if you were in the room or not, but, you know, there was a report that was provided with some recommendations by an independent company as it relates to these roads mm-hmm. in this surrounding community or surrounding area, I guess you could say. And we have a whole lot of folks in this room that are concerned about traffic. We have five decision makers, or, you know, excluding Mr. Wilson today, or Councilman Wilson, but he'll be a part of the process. And so for me, and we're not here to fix DelDOT today, and I know that's not necessarily your job, truly, because that's a much bigger issue, and this is not related specifically for this. But in the end, the concern that we have is that here we are making decisions as it impacts the community, as it impacts a private landowner, and there's recommendations being provided, okay? And we have an open-ended resolution here as it relates to the roads and how it's going to impact the community. And that's a problem as it relates to good decision-making, good judgment as councilmen, as councilwoman, and as communities. And there's a bigger issue, and again, we're not here to solve it today, but there is a bigger issue. And if there's developers that are providing funds, and there are proposed 340 taxpayers proposed, right, in this community, new funding, mm-hmm. new revenue, but no guarantees roads will ever get changed. That's a concern.
I understand your concern.
So how can we solve that problem? Let's save that for another time, but in the end, there is a bigger lying challenge here, and I think we have to figure out a resolution to find a solution to us trying to make good judgments for our community, but yet we're not in control of the roads. And that is of concern. So, but I do appreciate you for being here.
Thank you.
I truly do appreciate you being here, and that's a bigger issue. You're not the director, you're not the secretary, and you're not the governor, and you're not the legislature. But again, I think we have to find a better solution as it relates to our decision-making, as it relates to DelDOT and our roads, our infrastructure. I'm sure you would agree.
We're always trying to do better.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other
questions? I appreciate you being here. Thank you. It means a lot. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from council? If not, Mr. President, would it be appropriate to take a five-minute recess,
oh, yes.
or do you want to move
better.
On?
We're going to take a break. Thank you, Bill.
Sure, yeah.
Make a motion. We recess for 5 minutes.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
It's halftime.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion.